Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The end of the English Premier League football season has been postponed to Tuesday evening after a bomb scare at Old Trafford in Manchester, England. The incident forced the abandonment of Manchester United's match against Bournemouth. For more details, we're joined now by Luis Ramirez, the Voice of America's Europe correspondent in London. Luis, welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Great to be on with you, Sonny.
Luis, the English Premier League had a rather unnerving end to the season, although the end is still in sight. Bomb scare at Old Trafford in Manchester on Sunday. What's been the general reaction to that evacuation at the stadium?
Well, as you know, that had to be put off till Tuesday because of this false alarm. And the reaction has been one of surprise, disappointment, but also a great deal of relief. You see, people in Europe, across Europe, have pretty much been on edge over terrorist attacks. The one in Paris comes to mind, where a stadium was one of the targets. And what we saw in Manchester was rather impressive. We saw more than 75,000 people successfully evacuated after what turned out to be a fake bomb. This was a rather unfortunate mistake. We're talking about a device that had been left by a security company that had been doing training exercise, trying to see just how they would be able to evacuate people during an emergency like that, a potential terrorist attack. One of the experts who saw the device said it looked frighteningly realistic. Big mistake. The security company left that device behind after this exercise, which involved search dogs. They just didn't collect all of their material before they left. The match was about 20 minutes from starting when it was discovered. And the massive evacuation called before they realized it was a controlled device, that it was never posed any danger to anybody. But again, a great deal of relief that at least that evacuation system that they were practicing on does in fact work. So many people evacuated in such a short period of time is considered quite a success.
As we look forward to the end of the season on Tuesday evening, Luis, at Old Trafford, do you expect security will be bolstered in any way?
Absolutely. If anything, with some of the things that they learned from this exercise, seeing what works and what doesn't. Right now, one of the big worries is just the financial impact of this this mistake. They're looking at Manchester United, looking at losses of several million dollars just from all the tickets that had to be refunded, the whole event having to be postponed until Tuesday. That cost a lot of money. I think that's probably is way up there, along with the worries about terrorism, as far as concerns go after this mistake.
Luis Ramirez is the Voice of America's Europe correspondent in London. Luis, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you, Sonny.
Still with the English Premier League, the Foxes of Leicester completed a fairy tale season by being crowned champion earlier this month. It was the first title-winning season in the club's 132-year history. Leicester finished the season with a 1-1 draw at manager Claudio Ranieri's former club, Chelsea. In Spain, Barcelona won its second straight Spanish League title on Saturday when it won 3-0 at Granada. Uruguayan star Luis Suarez had a hat trick for Barca, which ended the season with 5 consecutive victories to clinch the La Liga trophy. Suarez was La Liga's top scorer with 40 goals. Real Madrid star Cristiano Ronaldo was next with 35 goals. And Suarez's teammate on Barcelona, Lionel Messi, had 26 goals. In Germany, Bayern Munich kicked off its title celebrations with a 3-1 victory over visiting Hanover. It was the 26th Bundesliga crown for mighty Bayern, the most successful club in German football history. And in Italy, Juventus, which had already won its 5th consecutive Serie A title, thrashed 10-man Sampdoria 5-0. Also in Italy, Andy Murray of Britain and Serena Williams of the United States won the men's and women's titles at the Italian Open Tennis Tournament in Rome. Ladies first, in an all-American women's final, Serena defeated Madison Keys in straight sets 7-6 and 6-3. And in the men's final, Andy Murray beat world number one Novak Djokovic in straight sets 6-3 and 6-3. This was Murray's first title since his wife, Kim, gave birth to a baby girl in early February.
It's been a big, big change in my life, and now, you know, I'm very, very positive about that. I think that it's going to have a positive effect on my tennis and the rest of my career. It gives me a bit of extra motivation, something more to play for. And the last thing I looked at before I went on court today was a picture of my daughter. So, I feel like that's what I'm playing for now, so that, yeah, in a few years, hopefully, she can be proud of what I've achieved.
Andy Murray and Novak Djokovic will now turn their attention to Paris and the French Open, which begins on May 22nd. Djokovic comments on how Murray has improved his game ahead of the Grand Slam tournament.
Well, I think he's using the court better now. You know, he has more variety in his shots from the baseline play. So obviously he did improve and winning Madrid and Rome and, a couple of clay court tournaments in the last couple of years proves it. And in French Open, the conditions are also a bit quicker, which he likes. So he's been consistently playing well throughout the years, and I'm sure that he's gonna be very motivated to do well again, and he's gonna come in great form to Paris.
Novak Djokovic talks about Paris and the upcoming French Open, but let's stay in Rome for now. American twins Bob and Mike Bryan won their 4th Italian Open doubles title. Reporter Richard Connolly asked Bob Bryan, how does it sound winning your 112th ATP Tour doubles title?
Wow, it sounds crazy. Yeah, I would have never thought we'd get to that number. When we won our first back in 2001, you know, we were looking at 10 because that was the brother record. Tom and Tim Gullickson had that. We beat that. We just kept going. Luckily, we've been healthy. But this feels good. You know, we're 38, just turned 38 last week. And we're not young chicks anymore. So it's nice to get those titles while you can, and everyone feels good.
Mike, talk to me about today's match, because there was a rain delay at the start of the second set when things had gone against you in the first. Did you use that to change the momentum at all?
Yeah, I think that rain delay did definitely help us. We came inside. Our coach was in there. We had about 15 minutes, and he just said, fire it up. You know, we were kind of flat in the first set. Weren't playing with a lot of energy, I think. Maybe we just came out. Bob went to bed at 4 in the morning. We had a late match last night, so we were kind of just dazed and confused. And we took our energy to the next level, played, you know, we were bouncing around in the second set and kind of faked it a little bit and then played a good breaker. But, it came down to the wire. Those match tiebreakers can go either way.
So hang on. He went to bed at 4 a.m. Yeah. You went to bed earlier or later?
I was. We're sharing a room this week. So I fell asleep. What time did I fall asleep? You probably heard me snoring at around
about 2:30, 2:45, you started snoring. We drank so much coffee last night for that late match that I was wired. So, we came out a little slow. It was like a 12-hour turnaround, and we had a long match. So, yeah, these bodies, they don't turn around that quickly anymore.
What are the peculiar difficulties of playing Pospisil and Sock? Because they're a combination that came together almost by accident at Wimbledon a couple of years ago, and yet clearly two very talented young guys on the singles tour.
Well, yeah, they're young. They got the power. They're both tall guys, athletic. Both guys serve big, and they also go for their returns. So they can string together a good 5-10 minutes of flashy stuff, and you're down a set. That's what they did out there today. They got on us early. Luckily, we clawed back in, and you know, the luck went our way. But I mean, those guys are going to be deep in the tournaments, and hopefully, we'll face them in the later stages of you know, in about a week over at Roland Garros.
Sure. Mike, Bob was saying about the recovery time perhaps being a little longer than it used to be. So what's your preparation going to be like for Roland Garros and what comes next?
Well, we both have a week off. Bob's actually flying back to Miami. He's got three kids, so he's got to go see his family. He's going to be on the ground in Miami for 3 days. So hopefully he's going first class so he can lay out and recover. I'm going to London for a couple of days and then off to Paris. But, yeah, we're just going to have a good week in the gym, hitting the courts a lot. You know, I think we're playing great right now. We're healthy. We're mentally fresh and happy since we won this. So just carrying this momentum right into the Roland Garros, that's what we want to do.
How big a goal is Roland Garros and winning major titles again? I think US Open 2014 was the last one. So it's been a bit of a gap, hasn't there?
Yeah, it's a massive goal of ours to win another slam. We want to do it this year. We still have lofty goals. We're not lowering the bar. We still want to finish number one. We want to win slams, the Olympics. We want to do it all, and we're very hungry. It's been a little bit of a quiet 6 months, so this is a good start. You know, this year we've won a 250, a 500, now a Masters. So the next step is a slam.
Bob, how do you keep that hunger going?
We stay on each other. You know, we're brutally honest with each other. We're twins. We're not like two other professionals who bite their tongue. You know, we really let it fly. And you know, if we had mics on each other,
what kind of things do you say?
It's not very kind. You know, I know it's very hurtful stuff. Very personal. I know what Mike's, you know, little insecurities are, so I can get in there and make him cry. So
no.
I talk about his wife. He talks about my kids. It's nasty, but it kind of clears the air. You know, when we have a tough couple of weeks, we're not just rolling our eyes at each other and you know, letting resentment build. We air it out. Sometimes we throw some punches, and then we start the rebuilding process. So it's kept us consistent over the years, just because we can kind of nip stuff in the butt right away.
Is part of the extra hunger, though, the fact that it's been 18 months or so since you won a Grand Slam event? Have you realized how much you've missed it in that time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, this little quiet period has really made us appreciate all the wins. You know, we went 10 years winning a slam, and that was always our goal, to end the year with a slam and feel like we really deserved number one. Last year, we didn't. You know, we were up a set and a break at the French Open final, let it slip away. That one hurt really bad, and it kind of put a sour taste in our mouth for the rest of the year. And, you know, we ended kind of on a cold patch and finished number two by one match. So, you know, I can feel it building this year. And the goal is to play well in the big ones, just like we always say, you know. You know, the gold medals kind of, that's on the horizon, and we'd really love to be on that podium again. You know, a lot of guys are not retiring because of the Olympics. You know, the Olympics is always everyone's goal. So to win some slams and the Olympics, we'd be happy guys.
Forgive me for bringing age into this again, Mike, but when you had the cold patch and you're 37 at the end of last year, do you wonder if it's the cold patch is the beginning of the big freeze, or did that cross your mind at all? Did you have that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, you're always thinking, okay, is this going to be our last good year? We're 38. I mean, there has to be a time, right, when it starts tailing off. But I think we're playing as good as ever right now. I mean, we're taking a couple of lead before every match, which is taking some of the pain away. But we're still moving pretty good. We're not losing power in our shots. We're hitting the gym just as hard as we've ever hit it. And I think we can keep playing, man. We're not going to put a ceiling on our career and say this is our last year. We're just going to take it one year at a time, and I think we keep going.
And just on the Olympics, how big a deal is it this year?
Yeah, the Olympics is huge for us. I mean, we love playing for our country and put a huge priority on playing well there. We said 4 years ago Rio was kind of the goal, to try to make it to Rio and win another medal, but we're looking past that
But to get another goal would mean everything. That's really kind of the hot spot on the horizon this year for us. So we're going to give it hell.
Are you sleeping in the same room again tonight?
I'm out of here. I'm on the first EasyJet flight out to London. I was asking Andy Murray if I could hop on his jet, Aaron Murray, but he's going in the morning, so I'm going to get over there to London.
Okay, no more snoring. Thank you very much, guys. All right.
All right, thanks a lot.
That was the Bryan brothers, Bob and Mike, twins. They won the doubles title over the weekend at the Italian Open tennis tournament in Rome, and they were talking with reporter Richard Conley in the Italian capital. We heard the Bryan brothers talking about the Rio Olympics in August. They won the gold in men's doubles at the 2012 London Olympics, and they also won the bronze at the 2008 Beijing Olympics. Turning to golf, world number one Jason Day of Australia has won the Players' Championship in Florida, the richest tournament in the sport. Day led from the opening round to capture the first-place prize of $1,890,000. Overall, the Players' Championship had a total prize purse of $10.5 million. Day finished at 15 under par, 273, and he won by four shots over American Kevin Chappelle. Jason Day has been in dominating form. This was his seventh title in the past 10 months. Now let's go to Mauritius, where South Korean golfer Junghun Wang won the AfAsia Bank Mauritius Open Tournament by one shot. Mark Tompkins reports from Mauritius.
Well, Korea's Junghun Wang has won the AfAsia Bank Mauritius Open after a stunning turnaround. It was Siddiqui Rahman from Bangladesh that had led all day until the 16th hole, a three-shot advantage, but then he suddenly double bogeyed 16, bogeyed 17, and the advantage was gone. They were level heading up the 18th. Wang sunk a short putt for birdie, while Rahman saw his chip from off the green lip out. He then missed a 10-foot putt and had to be content for second place. It means the 20-year-old Korean has now won back-to-back tournaments after his triumph at the Trophy Hassan Dur in Morocco last week. Not too many players in red figures today. Stanislav Goya from Argentina finished with a 71 to finish at level par alongside Belgian's Nicolas Kolsarts in a tie for third place, while Ross McGowan and Rahil Gangji both shot 71s as well to finish in a tie for seventh on three over par. But it was all about the Korean, who's held his nerve now for 2 weeks running, a playoff win last week. He's turned it around on the 18th here to take his second successive European Tour title after winning the AfAsia Bank Mauritius Open.
I cannot still believe that I won 2 weeks in a row, and I'm so excited right now. I got a big present now, so I'm really happy about it, yes.
Three shots behind with three holes to play. It looked like it wasn't going to be your day, but this course, that's what it can do to you, isn't it?
Yeah, probably luck on my side this week. I didn't even think about winning this week until 16. I just keep missing my putts, so I thought I don't have any chance to win.
Standing on 18, you had the chip from out of the bunker, and you didn't seem to have any nerves at all, and it was the same last week with a long putt on 18. For someone so young, that is a great thing to have in golf.
Actually, I hit it well on the second shot on the last hole, but it's over the green, so I thought I was just trying to make par, but I made another birdie again, so it's great. Fantastic.
That South Korean golfer Junghun Wang, who won the AfAsia Bank Mauritius Open Tournament, and he was talking with reporter Mark Tompkins in Mauritius. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Monday?
I have three acronyms I'm going to throw at you, and it's all part of this one big trending story. It's KATNBAROY, and that's because Karl Anthony Towns, KAT, has won the NBA, the National Basketball Association's Rookie of the Year Award, ROY. So you're seeing a lot of those acronyms popping up on social media. And not only did Karl Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves win the award, he won it unanimously, 130 out of 130 first place votes. He's only the fifth unanimous Rookie of the Year recipient ever in the NBA.
And coincidentally, Stephen Curry also recently won in unanimous fashion. the Most Valuable Player trophy.
Yeah, so it's a year of unanimity, or however you want to say that. But no, people are, you know, saying that just as a lot of the words that they're using for Steph Curry as he's been in the playoffs, they're using now for Karl-Anthony Towns and his play during the regular season. They're dominating. They said he has a very bright future ahead of him. He's looking to be one of the all-time greats if he keeps up the way he's playing. So really high praise for Karl-Anthony Towns. Now, he just went and gave his acceptance speech and just accepted the award, and he took a step that a lot of people are also commenting on social media. Now, Kia Motors, not an acronym Kia, it's the name of the company, but it's another three-letter word. Kia sponsors the Rookie of the Year Award, so it's the 2015-2016 Kia NBA Rookie of the Year Award. Part of that award is you get a new 2017 Kia Sorento, so very exciting, brand new car. And what Karl-Anthony Towns did is he donated that car to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Minnesota on behalf of Flip Saunders. Flip Saunders was his coach with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Flip Saunders passed away from lymphoma in October of 2015. But Flip Saunders was the one responsible for picking Karl-Anthony Towns in the draft last year, number one overall.
Nice gesture there by the NBA Rookie of the Year.
And this is what people are commenting on social media, saying not only is he a great player, but he's a great person to donate this car and do it in remembrance of his late coach, Flip Saunders. So they're saying it's a really great move on his part. Shows what a class act he is and what a great sportsman he is, both on the court and off.
The late Flip Saunders also has some ties to Washington, Andrew, former coach of the Washington Wizards, and one of the Wizards' stars, John Wall. I think, he credits Saunders with helping him become more professional in the NBA. The Minnesota Timberwolves and Karl-Anthony Towns did not advance in the NBA playoffs. Quick update, the NBA playoffs are now down to four clubs. Later Monday night, we'll have Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the defending champion Golden State Warriors. And on Tuesday night, we'll tip off the Eastern Conference Finals between the Toronto Raptors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Raptors eliminated the Miami Heat on Sunday to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in club history. So, I think our northern neighbors up in Canada, Andrew, a lot to cheer about with a team on the brink of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, it's certainly unexpected for them, but something that they're very proud of. Certainly we're going to see a lot of social media on that. And people going back to Karl-Anthony Towns talking about, you know, Minnesota's a northern team, that they might have some success in the coming years, not only with Karl-Anthony Towns, but they had Andrew Wiggins, who was last year's Rookie of the Year. So they're saying that team may come out and continue to do well.
Lots of young talent.
Absolutely.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, a couple of weeks ago on the show, we talked about a potential proposal to have sponsorships on jerseys for the big four sports in the U.S. That's basketball, baseball, hockey, and football, American-style football. And we talked about some of the pros and cons of that and the debates back and forth and wondered when that might happen. Well, we have an announcement now from the National Basketball Association that starting with the 2017-2018 season, the Philadelphia 76ers will have a sponsorship on their jersey. They'll have a little logo for StubHub, which is a ticket resale service. This is going to net the Philadelphia 76ers about $5 million a year, which is going to get split around in a couple of different ways. Actually, some of that is actually going to go to the salary cap for the team, so the players might actually make some money off of this, having this little logo on there. But it set off a social media firestorm, a back and forth, people asking, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea now that it's actually going to happen in the foreseeable future? One Twitter poll I saw, a full 38% of the people that were asked said that ads don't belong in the big four sports on the jerseys. So they're opposed to the idea, and other people saying they hate the idea. About a fifth of the people polled, so they hate the idea. Then you have on the other side people say, well, soccer has been doing this for a long time. The soccer kits have all these different ads, and they look way better anyway from the American sports jerseys. Now, interesting, too, a lot of people pointing out some of the stipulations that you're not allowed to have any ads that deal with gambling, alcohol, or politics as part of these new rules, and certain companies have protected status. So in this case with the Philadelphia 76ers, their apparel partner is Nike. So Nike is protected. Adidas can't advertise, can't have another ad on there. It's got to be a protected situation for them.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew. And that
Thank
wraps
you.
Up the May 16th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
President Barack Obama has said that Africa is on the move, pointing to the strides made on the continent in the areas of health and economic growth. But as Undersecretary for Civilian Security, Democracy and Human Rights Sarah Sewell recently noted, Africa's ability to make what could be enormous contributions to the global community is facing challenges that still impede Africa's success and slow its progress. The first is the threat of violent extremism. In both the east and the west of Africa, violent groups like Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb and Boko Haram are devastating people's lives, eroding economies, and undermining governance. This is an issue of great concern to the United States and to our partners in Africa, and a real focus of our partnership with African nations, said Undersecretary Sewell. A second area of challenge is the unequal treatment of women and girls. In far too many places, Undersecretary Sewell observed, that treatment includes violence, including female genital mutilation and cutting, which is a severe threat to health, sexual violence by intimate friends or family, or by security forces operating in the name of the states, or early forced child marriage, which prevents girls from getting an education and contributing to their country's economic future. The third key area is the problem of impunity within African nations. The United States, Undersecretary Sewell emphasized, wants to work with African nations to try to address those justice deficits, which are so important. Important not only for economic progress, but for social and political progress as well. In a discussion with international reporters, Undersecretary Sewell noted, among other issues, President Obama's support for UN peacekeeping operations in Africa, the work the United States has done to spotlight the importance of good conduct by national contingents of military and police forces involved in those missions, and to insist on the end to impunity for crimes those forces may commit. The investment the United States has made in tracking and disrupting terrorist financing, and the emphasis the United States believes is required to highlight the need for African women and girls to be allowed to fulfill their futures. President Obama has said that Africa's progress depends on good governance, respect for human rights, security, and peace. The United States remains Africa's close partner and friend in pursuing each of these goals.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials.
Next on Let's Talk. Job hunting. What you need to know when job hunting. Join host Sandy Shomari and his guests discussing job hunting. This lighthearted show covers topics of your interest. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa. Next time on Street Talk Africa, we'll discuss whether there's a need for a fundamental change in U.S.-Africa relations. Join host Shaka Sali and his guests as they discuss U.S.-Africa relations next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.